Welcome everybody to the 2 p.m. Legal Counsel Update in the BCC Conference Room for Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. I would note that our chair, Lily Morgan, is not in attendance. Item one is a notice of grant to comply with the requirements from Oregon Parks and Recreation Department grant to fund Lake Selmac improvements. I know Sarah wasn't able to make it today. She sent a decent explanation. Is that for you?
Yes, that's it's also for you. This is what she would say if she were here. That they approved the grant. The parks applied for a land and water conservation grant. Grant funding was approved for $75,500 to rebuild the footbridge and replace six wooden vault toilets and with four double stall CXT toilets. It was completed, so now we're closing out the grant, and the grant requires that there be a notice of grant recorded with the clerk's office that says that the property can only be used for parks purposes.
Gotcha. Does that mean all of Lake Selmac can only be used for recreational purposes in the future?
Yes.
So in other words, when we have a big fire and we want to put fire crew camps out there at Lake Selmac, we can't do that anymore?
No, the primary purpose will be recreational use for parks.
Can only be used for recreational purposes. It doesn't say primary purpose. It says the property can only be used for recreational purposes in the future.
It says hereby acknowledges and agrees that it is bound by the terms of the grant agreement, and these terms include that this property shall be managed for recreation purposes and consistent with the purposes which it was entered into and shall not be converted to other uses. So,
A little better.
Yeah.
That was Sarah's summary that you were
That was in the summary, and this is in
In the text.
In the actual notice of the grant.
Okay. This is what Sarah wrote right here, and I thought.
That's a fair question, sir.
Hopefully, but it is in here in the summary.
I got to walk on that bridge and inspect those toilets when I was camping there on the 4th. Because it was right near where we got a camping spot, so. And the vault toilets are excellent, in excellent condition, obviously, because they're brand new or less than a year old, but they seem to be holding up well as well. So, so any action by the board going forward? Do we just need to sign the notice of grant?
This is the original. I think she'd like it if you could take an action today because she's trying to close her grant out.
Sure.
And that's the last thing she needs.
I'd entertain a motion, to just to approve the notice of grant from the Board of Commissioners.
So moved.
And I'll second that. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There's nobody left. So let's sign it for her so she can close out the grant. Item two is a contract with American Medical Response, AMR, for ambulance services. Recommended changes to contract.
So thank you, Leah. And Mike Weber is going to try and make it. He's got a packed agenda, but Dan says he eventually is going to be here today.
Okay.
But all right, so this is, I guess, two documents that we're offering today. And the first is the red line of the contract that emerged from the EMS board, and regarding the proposed AMR contract. The second is AMR's response. Of course, AMR has a representative on that board. And so they did, at the county's request, provide a written reply stating their position. And we only provided that within the last couple of hours, I dare say, and I appreciate the board's kind of willingness to accommodate that. And so deadline on this is really, end of September. Yeah, 3 months. Okay, so we can take a minute perhaps for everyone to just look through the documents and maybe a brief discussion, and we'll probably just pick it up again another day.
Right, making an introduction and not a final.
Truly, yes.
So I had a question earlier
yes.
that I sent your way about the total contract amount annually?
Yes.
And so I was wondering if anybody in the room knew the annual contract amount? If they'd let the rest of us know?
Thanks. Arthur O'Hare, Finance Director. And I'd have to add it up, $6,250 a quarter is the what the contract's been for last several years.
Right, so this addition to the contract at 350 almost is significant then.
And it is, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I haven't seen the new contract.
Right, so you were saying how much, six something?
$6,250 a quarter.
So that's 25 and change.
6250 would be 13, right? 26.
And what's a new one for us?
I mean, it'd be 12.5, 25.
Yeah, 2.5 million then.
Like 5,000, 25,000. $6,250 a quarter.
That's all the contract is?
That's what they've been paying us for the last several years. Per quarter to the public health. That's the contract with public health. That's what we're talking about.
Right, so they survive off their own fees and there's no contract amount. It sounds like it's coming the other way. So for them to add these things, where would that money come from?
He explains it toward the end of the letter.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, the letter is really enlightening as far as what AMR provided. They were quite candid in their numbers.
Okay.
You had a chance to look at it?
No,
not to get that far.
Just now walked in.
It's just the second page of the letter.
Yeah, so the top document is AMR's letter. And it's pretty plain to me. I know you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, it's good to have this information out there for discussion then.
Yes.
Yeah, so AMR has paid public health $6,250 a quarter.
I think it was 25 grand.
Yeah.
What is that for? Just like a franchise fee type thing, or
for providing a service? I guess
okay.
The franchise fee—that's what we record it as. Yes.
Okay.
So the privilege of providing a service.
Yeah. Okie doke.
That's what a franchise fee is.
The
privilege. Privilege of providing service.
Yes, 25 grand. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, then.
And your recommendation?
We'll put this on a future.
So, yeah, my recommendation
discussion.
Is exactly to do this then. So, please review the red line, that's emerged from the EMS board, and then very carefully the two-page letter from AMR after you've had a chance to look at that, and especially the second page of that really tells the story as best I can tell.
Okay.
They just break it down in terms of numbers and. To me, it looks pretty compelling, but I'm sure there's another side to it.
Right. But this is a recommendation of the whole board.
It was, yeah.
Captured in this letter.
Yes, yes. So there's a couple of expenses that AMR would be expected to incur going forward. They don't
right.
currently. And what drives their revenue, according to their letter, is their Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. Of course, that doesn't go up, except, a little bit, and so that's they claim they're essentially operating more or less at expense. So adding anything more on that, they explain, I'm paraphrasing highly, but they basically say it would come off of the backs, if you will, of people who aren't paying for their ambulance service to Medicaid and Medicare, and there's so few of them that they would have to raise the ostensible rate for ambulance transit considerably.
Hmm.
Even just to get a few thousand more in relative terms.
Okay. Any other questions, Dan?
Nope. I will read through this, though.
And,
sounds good.
Okay, very good. And so AMR apparently did, one final point, AMR apparently did state along the way that they do consider the franchise fee to be up for discussion here as a part of this. And so the fact that it's 25,000 isn't necessarily a stopping point in terms of considering what the franchise fee should be going forward.
Okay.
So, how to establish what a good franchise fee is, I guess we could look around the state and our peer counties, but I don't know whether their fees are too high or too low, right?
Yeah.
And so where is the market on a franchise fee for ambulance care.
This, you know, just in my mind, ambulance service is something you really have to have. And I don't look at it as a revenue generator for the county. I really don't. I look at it more as a service. You know, this thing right here just kind of keeps, you know, you got to pay something type of a deal, but it's not, yeah, we need $1.2 million for an exclusive deal, because that, all that gets passed right on to whoever's doing, whoever's riding, and they're already in enough trouble as it is in most cases.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, and as a franchisee payer, are there books available to the public to see their profit margin, like the transportation companies and the solid waste agency? And
there should be something in the contract that would allow us to look at their...
Look at their...
In their contract. Look on page one to the end.
Not bad, are you?
We'd have to look.
Document, yeah, there's reports and requests. Let's get back to you on that one.
Okay. I was just curious if they were under the same... other utilities have to.
Typically.
Right, like Pacific Power or Charter or whoever. Yeah. That, all that stuff's available. I was just curious.
Sure.
Okay, anything else on item two? Doesn't sound...
No, not for me,
that
no.
Covers it.
Thanks, all right. Item three, draft administrative policy F5 for public records requests.
Okay, so where we left off last week was board wanted me to send this around to the department heads and elected officials, which we've done. Feedback has come in, it's been very helpful, it's been positive in terms of making the change in general. There are a couple of points that I did make sure to implement. One was, I think you have a red line.
I do?
Yeah, okay, yes. Good. So one was, for example, I left off community corrections inadvertently from one of the departments.
Page? That,
that's going to be on page 4 of 6 of the red line.
Okay.
Yep. And so community corrections has been added to reflect what's actually going on in reality. Additionally, the line just ahead of that where it says, these departments may also set fees in accordance with the uniform fee procedure for the processing and provision of records. So we clarified that's what's going on already, and so we clarified that the departments would go through a standard fee procedure and be able to set that. Sheriff's office, for example, wants to be able to just tell people if you want a report, it's $10. You know, they're not going to try to measure how much staff time. They just want to say
$10
for a fee instead of a
flat rate. Yeah, and so that's
some
not going to
take longer than others. And if you get down, well, it shouldn't have taken you that long. But if it's just a fee,
start the clock.
Yep.
Some you win, some you lose.
There it is. Yeah. Clerk's office similarly. I mean, if you want a certain kind of report, then they're going to charge you a flat rate.
Right.
So that's going to accommodate that, which is working out by all accounts for both county personnel and the public. And then flipping out page 6 of 6, still on the topic of fees, rather than try to capture fees within this particular administrative policy, the actual numbers have been removed. So you see there's the 55, 45, and 32 are crossed out. And so now it just says, but essentially that we're going to follow the uniform fee procedure and set fees per invoice.
And it just talks about the charge of $25.
That's from the statute.
But I like it when fees are not in
yes.
documents like this so that they can be
changed
without a huge rigmarole.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure if you're finished with the presentation.
I think so. I think that covers all the high points.
Yeah, I know that Chair Commissioner Morgan had some concerns and has not been here for either one of the meetings. And I see this is draft. So I'm hoping we can hold it over and let her have some input on it as well.
Certainly.
I just don't know what that looks like. Where it was planned to go after this.
More discussion?
Right. That's what I'd like to see. I want to catch her input before we
absolutely
move forward. So may or may not change the other two people's minds. I don't know. But she had expressed some concerns, and so I wanted
to get that.
Better. Yep.
occur. So this, like I say, this has been chopped around to department heads already, and so it's collecting their feedback.
They've made their input. Good.
Yeah, everyone's positive on the change here.
Okay.
It's considered by me and department heads.
Well, a lot of faith in our department heads.
Mm-hmm. You know what they're doing.
Yep.
Exactly.
So they prove over and over. Very good. All right, that was item three. And that'll go forward to another discussion before it's over. Item four is Grants Pass Fire District formation, the second public hearing.
Indeed. So what we like to do, as you well know by this point, is provide you with the book in advance of the hearing. And so we have it now. It's not the same one as you had last time, but it's pretty similar. Now, I note that the table of contents is on, again, on the cover, and also we've got it right there. So that's our attempt to make things convenient.
Pretty sharp.
Thank you. Well, and I can't claim any credit for that whatsoever, personally. So
someone's training someone.
Wouldn't try.
One way or the other.
Truly. So what we have, though we have improved, I think, over even the past iteration of this, if we go to tab one, this is really written now to be even more of a verbatim script than what we had presented last time.
We didn't make any changes that would trigger any kind of a rehearing or anything.
Nope.
I think we stayed pretty well. We didn't make any changes.
There were no changes. No, there was a proposed order going into that, 2019-046.
And so that clarified.
Right. So this would be the script, if you will, to get everything here that needs to be on the record and explained. And then, just like last time, when you get to the end of that page two on tab one, you've got the conclusion and your options here. You can either move forward, then it has the language of the motion, or decline to move forward, and then you have the instructions there for what happens.
Mm-hmm. So is this tomorrow night in Williams? That meeting's not tomorrow.
Williams is
tonight. That's in 2 weeks, right?
I think Williams is tonight.
Williams. Well, we're doing a Williams meeting tonight on vegetation.
It's just a 9 o'clock meeting tomorrow.
The WBS meeting in Williams is the 14th.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You're right. You're used to getting these way before the day before.
Right.
Yeah, we're used to getting them as we're walking across park. Oh, geez. We've got some time on this one here. I think this one goes. The Williams meeting is, but tomorrow we'll do this one.
Yes, right. Tomorrow morning.
Right. Tomorrow morning we're going to do this one. Williams, that'll be on the 14th, so it will be a local meeting.
Yes. And if you'd like, we can do another handout to have over there that would have pretty much the same.
What was our response to the handout? I think if you got a handout for this first two pages, for one,
I mean,
for
we would take
item
the,
number one.
We would take the end off.
And take off
the conclusion.
Take off the motion.
It'd be nice to have them. Yeah,
okay,
to propose a conclusion.
I don't know if it. I don't know if a lot of people will ever like it there. So.
Well, I think I just take conclusion off of it, put this here so they have it in writing in front. I think that way you get them to read.
All right, and then the other thing is we are working on the next step, which is going to go in front of you next Wednesday, and going to try to have something maybe to bring to them on Thursday, or
I'll be at the county council's conference. I'll be leaving for Ben tomorrow afternoon, so I'll be out the rest of the week after that, as will Leah and Augustus. So I guess if you were to bring something, it'll be Pat. But I don't know if Tuesday is really, a Thursday is necessary. We can, well, all right, what she's talking about is there's the ballot title and the explanatory statement, what the voters are actually going to see and vote on.
Right.
And typically, it is a very collaborative effort. It's not just us handing it down.
But what's the deadline on that?
It's Wednesday.
Next
Wednesday, week from tomorrow.
The city providing some of the?
Yes,
they have. So it's not
the framework for that.
Yes, they already have. Okay. It won't be exactly, but But that will be the base. We'll use that. So it shouldn't take that long. I can talk about it for you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And so we can either give it to you on Thursday or just give it to you individually and then maybe field questions if you have it before next week.
And put it on Tuesday of next week.
So if you can get that
put
to
it on
us.
Again, but we'll have to have it for the packet before then.
Yeah.
Because the packet goes out on Friday.
How soon can you get that to us so we can just look at it?
Probably by Thursday.
Thursday? Okay. Yeah, after tomorrow, and then we can.
Just individually.
Individually.
All this stuff goes over to the city as well.
This one probably will.
Yeah. Yeah, the notices and stuff. They want to see it as well.
There's only going to be one ballot measure for city and county both, right?
Sorry?
There's only going to be one ballot measure, and it only goes to the city.
Yes, the persons well, who are covered.
The former in formation of the district only got, doesn't go to county voters.
Well,
urban growth.
Yeah,
residents.
The
along
there
with
is
service
a map.
Annexation agreements.
There's the map.
But it goes to the map, which is the city of Grants Pass plus the urban growth boundary right now, and any franchise agreements.
It's not the urban growth boundary. It's only particular properties.
Right, those that have
UGB.
Service annexation.
And so we do have a map for you. There wasn't a real clear map the last time. So what tab is that? Maybe two.
We got a nice big one, two, tab two.
So there's that one, and then there's individual. It's basically the City of Grants Pass description. Then the individual descriptions are shown there.
Oh, Exhibit A.
Well, there's only half a dozen of them, 26 of them, so I don't think that's a big deal.
Right, that's exactly right. 26 beyond
the city. So those 26 parcels and the UGB and the City of Grants Pass will get them.
Yes.
So these 26 are the only ones in the urban growth boundary and annexation agreements, outstanding annexation agreements.
Those are the properties who you know which have annexation agreements.
Yeah. The 26 are.
So they're already paying city taxes.
I would have expected more than that. So.
Well, there's more parcels, but what the city engineer told me that he combined some because they're like the actual parcel is just one owner, I guess.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Like, you know, you might have more than one.
So in explaining this to somebody, is the UGB in this taxing district?
Parts of the UGB.
For the most part, no.
26.
The 26
properties.
Are in it, but not all of it.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. The other thing that's unusual about this one is that there's a notice of election. It might be three.
Notice of election's four.
Four. And that's what went in the paper already. And so in this one, you can file to be a district board member if you're an elector or an owner of any of those parcels. So it's a little bit different.
That
other
is different.
Districts, yeah.
So you don't have to be in the, you don't have to reside, you just have to have some ownership.
To be on the board.
To be on the board.
Not to vote.
To be on board, right. You don't have to reside, you can be ownership.
Yes.
That is rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Okay. Odd, because if to vote, you have to be lived there.
Right. Which follows that same annexation discussion, they get annexed without voting.
Right. It's contrary to what?
Like a city annexation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get a vote of all the people that live in the city, but not of the people they're considering to move in.
That's the basis for
it.
You can only vote where you live. So if you had people say, well, you can't vote in city issue or county issue because you live in the city, I said, I can vote city, county, state, and federal. Telling me I can't vote on county issues means that you can't vote on state issues.
We'll let you vote on this one fire district, though.
Yeah, right. We'll have to,
Yep, I know, right?
Okay. That just seems odd to me. It seems contrary.
Interesting to note.
So
but
if I
that,
thought
if that's
I'd
what
make that.
It
yeah.
says,
that distinction.
Statute, we're all set. We're not going to argue with that.
Okay, that was item four. Boy, we're just cooking through them here. 2:23. Item five is additional subjects or matters from commissioners. Do you have any additional subjects we should consider today? Or
no, I sure wish the fire would go out. I was very, very disappointed that the fire got to the point where it ruined back to the 50s, which was a huge weekend for Josephine County. And it looks like if they don't get it put out, it's going to ruin our fair again. And, you know, if you travel north of here, as soon as you get past Canyonville, it's clear as a bell. So they don't understand our plight down here in Southern Oregon at all. I think we need to fire off a letter to the powers that be that, you know what, I know if you're in the high and dry, but we're down here full of smoke again. And
right, and it's based on one fire,
our
not getting
one
suppressed.
Fire that we thought, we've been told, we've got everybody on board, and by golly, when we have a fire, we've got mutual aid agreements, and we've got it all in place. We are going to stamp it out. And I know this is a rugged country because it's steeper than a cow's face over there and rocky, but still, you know, this thing got out of hand and out of control overnight.
Yeah, it wasn't like they were fighting 115 lightning strikes. They were fighting one fire.
Commissioner Morgan told me that I think that that's the Douglas Fire District Consortium or something. It's not OD, Oregon Department of Forestry, because it is not BLM land. So therefore, ODF is not really authorized to go after it. It is mostly on private ground up there that's owned by Douglas County. So that's why. I drove by the other day, U.S. Forest Service was on the east side of I-5 in case anything hopped the freeway, because it burned right down to the freeway. And I don't know if that's U.S. Forest Service, and that's why they were over there. But on this side, it was all private. I didn't see any Oregon Department of Forestry or anybody on this side. But I don't know who was up in the hills, but it's very, very frustrating. You know, when we went by it on Thursday, in my amateur mind, it didn't look like it was that big a deal. I thought they'll just put that out today or tomorrow and it'll be all done. And when I came back on Sunday, it was, it's 10,000 acres and growing. We don't know where this thing's going to go. Well,
okay. Triple overtime.
Yep. I'm sure you're not alone in your frustration.
I think everybody's frustrated by it. It's just sad that it had to happen that weekend. So many people, I rode to Eugene and back with a guy that's involved in the Back to the 50s. He said the Elvis impersonator canceled because he had asthma from the smoke. They cut the crew short and they had 71 entrants in the car show that there were no shows. So everything was down. Everything had a big blanket of smoke over it. And that's the third year in a row. I'd be really, really surprised if anybody wishes to step up next year and say, yeah, I want to do this again. Because it's just not penciling for our community. Sad.
Well, I don't remember the wind blowing this direction before. It seems like it went mostly west. And why it's chosen south for this fire is very frustrating.
Well, I think once it gets in the valley, though, Commissioner, that's where it stays. You know, we don't get a bunch of wind through here. We only get 2 miles an hour average or 3 miles an hour average wind per year. Over on the coast, it's 15 miles on a still day.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
It is.
We'll put it out. We'll get another one.
No other subjects, but I have some matters.
Right, well, let's move on to matters.
We're on matters?
Sure.
We had a talk show this morning on KJO. Had Tamara Martin from Fair was with us, and Lisa Picard from Veterans. Pumped up the fair. I was really surprised we didn't get any call-ins, but they were just rattling off information one right after another. I think they answered everybody's questions prior to.
Nice.
There's a parking issue that's still hanging out. We're working through, the fair board's working through some parking issues and whatnot, because we don't have the infield of the track this year to park anybody yet. So, but they're working through that. They're working on bus schedules and additional parking downtown with a shuttle service type thing. I know four or five years ago, or maybe 10, as fast as time's flying, but Pam and I used to park up at Gilbert Creek Park, and then they had a school bus that came by, so we'd jump on the school bus and go out there to drop you off right at the gate and take you back whenever you want, within every half an hour. And that worked out really swell, because you didn't have to walk from clear out in the YMCA parking lot, but, you got kind of neat. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but Tamara said they'll have that announcement shortly.
Excellent. All right, anything else, sir?
That's it for me.
Nope, not much for me. We are going out to the Williamtown Council meeting at the Williams Grange site at 6:30 to discuss roadside vegetation management policies and future possibilities for that management. I invited the folks from Cave Junction as well to make it out there so that we can hopefully have the conversation less than 20 times, because this has really come up in our community because of the lawsuit against Roundup and the chemical sprays people have been using for decades on the roadside vegetation management. And so now we have an opportunity to evaluate the cost of changing that.
Well, I know Director Brandis has a PowerPoint that he's taken out. So
he's going to head out as well. So, and bringing one of his crew. So hopefully we'll be able to get all the information out on the table and talk about it. I know it's a little late this year to change horses in midstream, but it's still a great time to have the discussion so we can change it for next year.
Yep.
If that's the end. So we'll see. And with nothing else, we made it to 2:30 and this meeting is ended.